Hello, I'm Dr. Jonathan Barker, pastor here at Amazing Grace Baptist Church in Mount Airy, North Carolina. I would like to personally thank you for taking out time today to tune in to our preaching podcast. We hope that this message will be a great encouragement to your heart today.
Chapter number 19, it's a familiar text, I know, but I pray that the Lord would use it to speak to our heart, and it's what the Lord put on my heart tonight. Luke chapter 19, if you're able to stand in reverence to the Word of God, we'll read a few verses of Scripture and then pray, and then you can be seated. Luke chapter number 19. Notice with me in verse number 1. The Bible says, "And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was chief among the publicans, and he was rich. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press, because he was little of stature. And he ran before and climbed up in a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him, and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he was gone to be guest with a man that is a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor, and if I've taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. And Jesus said unto him, This day is salvation come to this house. For as much as he also is a son of Abraham, for the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost." Father, Lord, I do pray in Jesus' name, God, that you'd help us these next few moments. I realize tonight, Lord, that there is no preaching without you. And without you, we can do nothing. We certainly need you tonight. I pray, God, that you would help us not to say anything that would grieve the Holy Spirit. But God, I pray that you'd be exalted in our midst tonight. I ask you to encourage every heart, strengthen every soul. I pray, God, for those here that may not be saved. I pray for their soul to be saved tonight. I pray for backsliders. Lord, any need that needs to be done tonight, we know that you're able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we would ask or think. Lord, I ask tonight that you'd help us receive with meekness the engrafted word. And, oh, God, I pray tonight that we'd see no man save Jesus only. And we'll thank you for it. In Christ's name we do pray. Amen. Amen. You can be seated tonight. I know that if you're a Bible reader and you went to Sunday school, you're familiar with the story about Zacchaeus. And when we think about this story tonight, though there's a lot of people in this story, especially if you look at verse number 7, the Bible talks about they all murmured and said he's going to be guests with a sinner. But there's two primary characters in this story that we want to focus on tonight. Number one, we want to talk about the first character, and I would call this character the saving man. Amen? He's found in verse number 1. The Bible says, "And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho." You realize this story wouldn't even be in the Bible if it wasn't for Jesus. Amen? And when I think about Jesus tonight, he is the saving man. He was a perfect man when he lived upon this earth. Jesus could not sin, for if Jesus could have sinned then, that would mean that Jesus could sin right now. But he was the sinless Son of God. He is still the sinless Son of God, and he will always be the sinless Son of God. For the Bible said in 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 21, "For he was made to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." Amen. And so when we think about this saving man, he was a perfect man. But I would also say tonight, he was a poor man. Jesus said in Matthew chapter number 8 and verse number 20, Jesus said unto them, "The foxes have holes and the fowls of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath no place to lay his head." When Christ came into this world, even though he was a king, he came into this world as a peasant. And that's why Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse number 9, "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be made rich." Amen. Jesus was a perfect man, but he was also a poor man when he came into this world. And what's most interesting about this text is that Christ is poor and Zacchaeus is rich. But in reality, Christ has everything that life has to offer, and Zacchaeus has nothing. Amen. Only to prove, young people, you can have everything in this world and be empty and have nothing. But if you have Jesus Christ, thank God, you've got all you need. Amen. I like what the songwriter said when he said, "He's all I need." Amen. And so Christ is the saving man. He's a perfect man, a poor man. But in verse number 1, he's a man that is just passing through. Amen. Was the saving man. And then notice in verse number 2, there is this sinner man tonight. And when we think about this sinner man, what I would say about Zacchaeus is that he is just a basic man. There's nothing special about Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus doesn't have anything to offer God. Zacchaeus, there's not anything that we could praise him for tonight. In fact, what I would say about Zacchaeus is he's like every other man in this world. He's lost without God. He's a sinner that needs to be saved. If he doesn't get saved, he's going to go to hell. In spite of his riches, in spite of his status, he's just a basic man. Amen. And then I would say tonight, he's not only a basic man, but Zacchaeus was a bad man. If you look at verse number 7, the Bible says, and when they saw it, notice this, they all murmured. I mean, everybody murmured, saying that he was gone to be guest with a man that is a sinner. Now, you're a pretty bad person when everybody in town calls you a sinner. Isn't that right? I mean, you think there would be somebody that would kindly be on Zacchaeus' side. But young people, everybody said, that's a bad dude. Amen. And I tell you, you're a pretty bad person when sinners are calling you sinners. Amen. I'm telling you, these people wasn't no more right with God than Zacchaeus. But they said, Jesus, you know you're going home to be a guest with a man that's a sinner. I'm telling you tonight, Zacchaeus, even though he was rich, he was a bad man. He was a basic man. But here's what's interesting. He was a blessed man. Amen. I mean, think about it. The Bible says that Zacchaeus was rich. He had plenty of things in this world. He had a good occupation in this world. What I'm saying, in spite of who Zacchaeus was, in spite of what he had did, he had ripped people off. He was a tax collector. Some he had gained honestly. Some he had gained dishonestly. But here's what's interesting. In spite of who Zacchaeus was, in spite of what Zacchaeus had done, you can't deny the fact that God had still been good to him. Amen? You realize tonight, if a sinner was to walk in this church and was to stand up and say, I want to thank God for being good to me, there's not a one of us that could dispute that tonight, because that man is living in God's world. He is breathing God's air. God has given him life. Everything he owns, in spite of who he is and what he's done, he would still have to say God has blessed him. You see, Zacchaeus was a bad man, but he was a blessed man. The problem in Zacchaeus' life, young people, is he's like a lot of people. He never took time to look up and to see where those blessings were coming from. But thank God, on this day, he's not going to look up, but he's going to look down and he's going to see the one that, thank God, that blessed him and gave him everything that he has. Amen. Zacchaeus is a blessed man. But here's what I want to preach on a few minutes tonight. Zacchaeus is a businessman. Because verse number 2 said, and behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, watch this, which was chief among the publicans. You realize that Zacchaeus was not just a publican, but he was chief. He had a good job. He had a good occupation. He had climbed his way up, amen, the ladder of corporate success. Somehow, he had gained some favor in society, and he had got a pretty good job. I would say it would be safe to say he is a businessman. But in our text, he's going to do a different kind of business. Not financial business. But young people, it's the greatest business that you can ever do. It's spiritual business. Here we have a businessman that's going to do business with God. And I want to preach a few minutes tonight on that subject, on when a businessman does business with God. You say, why would you preach that in a youth meeting? I want to tell you why. Because whenever the Lord comes to church, he has two objectives every time he comes to his house. Number one, he wants to be worshiped. Isn't that right? And he is worthy to be worshiped tonight. He wants to be glorified. He wants to be magnified. He wants to be praised. And young people, you should never go to church tonight in any service that what you don't enter in and get involved and participate in worship. You see, I lift my hand tonight not because I'm worthy, but because he is worthy. I lift my hand tonight not because I feel anything, but I lift my hand because the Bible says in Psalms 134 and verse number 1, O lift up your hands in the sanctuary and bless the Lord, all ye people of the Lord. I don't raise my hand to impress somebody. You don't raise your hand to impress somebody. In fact, I'm not even raising my hand at you right now. And if you raise your hand, you're not raising your hand at me. But the Bible says, after all God has done for you, after all that God has blessed you with, God said, if you'll just raise your hand in church, it may not bless your backslid neighbor. It may not bless some cold and indifferent a church member. But the Bible said, oh, lift up your hands in the sanctuary and bless the Lord. Amen. I'm telling you, who would have ever thought, after all God's done in our life, saving us from a devil's hell, bringing us out of nothing and putting us in everything, who would have ever thought we could just raise our hand and it would thrill the heart of a holy throne and a thrice holy God? God said, all I need you to do is lift your hand in the sanctuary. Amen. About the quietest place you go nowadays is church. Amen. I mean, if you want a good nap, amen, we got air conditioning, we got padded seats, and we got a good quiet service in most places you go. I'm telling you, every time you go to church, young people, you ought to make your mind up. If you're saved by the grace of God, you ought to never let a service go that when somebody sings and somebody preaches, you don't take time to say, Lord, I just want to raise my hand toward heaven. I mean, if you got a hand to raise, we ought to raise it. Amen. I'm telling you, God has been good to us. Amen. And then the Bible says, let all the people say amen. I mean, that even includes the women, doesn't it? I mean, in some places, if it wasn't for two or three women saying amen, we wouldn't have church, amen. I'm telling you, everybody ought to say amen. Young people, middle-aged folks, elderly folks, what I'm telling you, if you got a voice, you ought to say amen. If you got a hand, you ought to raise your hand. You don't got to feel nothing. I thank God for goosebumps, but I'm telling you, you don't got to have goosebumps because worship doesn't demand a response from God. We don't go to church and wait for him to show up. I'm telling you, his objective is this. If we'll praise him, he will inhabit the praises of his people. Amen. I tell you, there's only one way to worship God, and that's on purpose. Amen. You got to make your mind that when you go to the house of God, you're going to get in on the singing. You're going to get in on the preaching. Amen. I'm talking about his objective tonight is to be worshiped. Amen. But his other objective, which is more amazing to me than even worshiping him, is that he wants to do business with us tonight. God wants to get in your business. And God wants to do business. You know the problem a lot of times in churches is that sometimes we're okay and we're good with worshiping, but we don't like to do business. You know why we got so much trouble in our churches today? Because people have learned how to worship. Now some haven't, you know that. But some, I'm going to tell you, I'm going to preach both sides of this coin for about 1 second. Amen. I'm telling you, there's one side where it's graveyard dead, it's dry as cracker juice. You can go to church, amen, and leave a lung on a pulpit, and people will look at you like a calf looking at a new gate, amen. And listen, I dare you to get the least bit excited. I don't like to go to church like that, amen. I don't want to go to a mortuary, I want to go to a sanctuary. Somebody say amen. And I tell you, on the other side of that, I have seen some folks, they could shout their socks off, run the aisle, sing like a mockingbird, but they as junkyard mean, could stir more trouble up in a church. You know what I'm talking about? Driven and just riding their emotions. And I thank God for emotions, amen? But they couldn't get their emotions in check. They could cuss in the foyer of the church and then come sing and shout in the choir, amen? I'm just telling you how it is. You say, what's the problem? I tell you what's the problem. They learned how to worship, but they haven't done any business with God in a long, long time. Amen. Now, I'm not going to get off on this, but I'm going to just go ahead and plow this a little bit. How many, if you're here tonight and you're ticked off at somebody, you ain't right with God. Can I get an amen right there? I don't care if it's a youth meeting or an old meeting. I'm telling you, if you're here tonight and you're mad at your pastor, you're mad at some deacon, you're upset at some member in the church, I'm going to tell you, you can shout. Listen, you can shout your curlers down for all I care, but I ain't got a bit of confidence in that. If you can't speak to somebody across the aisle, you can't be shake somebody's hand. I'm telling you, if you're one of those people, you can shout on this preacher and pout on this one. You can shout on this singer and you can turn it off like a faucet. I'm telling you, that it's not real, friend. You need to do some business with God. Hallelujah. Well, I wasn't aiming to go there, but I'm not sorry I did. Amen. I'm telling you tonight, if you're one of these people sitting here and you've not said you're sorry to somebody in a long time, you need to do some business with God tonight. I believe we can have revival in our churches if we just get honest tonight. Boy, this sermon's going different, but I want to obey God. I'm telling you tonight, I don't know tonight. I don't know anything about anything or anybody. But I'm telling you, if you're sitting here tonight, I'm trying to pull in one direction. God's going in another. And I'm telling you, if you're sitting here tonight and you got all in your heart against somebody, you can, listen, you can perform, but you will never worship until you come clean with God and with anybody else. You know, that's what people used to do. Brother, they used to have old-time confession services. Now, I've been at my church 27 years, and we've had three. Now, we've had about 10 forced ones, amen. You say, what's that? That's where I've had enough. And I get up and say, now, look, we're all getting right with God. My wife's sitting here testifying. I'm saying, y'all driving me nuts. So we're all getting right with God tonight, so stand up and start telling your sins, amen. We've had some of them. They don't go so well. I'm just going to be honest with you. They don't like it, but I feel so much better. I'm going to throw a songbook at a few of them, you know. I tell you, I remember one time for about 16 months, I mean, it was like I was preaching to a wall. And I came one morning, I got up to preach, and I mean, it was just airtight. We got a good church. But it was airtight. And I just shut my Bible, said, I'm not preaching. I said, I'm going to go home and eat chicken, come back tonight. And I said, I'll tell you what we're going to do. I said, anybody here hate the way services have been for the last long time? Boy, it's about 100%. I said, I'm going to come back tonight. We're going to have revival. Don't know who's going to preach. Don't even know if anybody's going to preach. But I said, tonight we're going to have a confession service. And I'll start it. And we had that night. I thought the devil talked to me all day and said, what if you say something and they don't confess anything? I said, well, they're Baptists. They probably won't. Amen. But I confessed some things. They confessed some things. We went and for 2.5 hours. We just got right with each other. You know what happened? 16 months, it broke that night. And we was going to have a one-week revival. We had a three-week revival. I'm just telling you tonight, I want to get on this, but I just want to tell you tonight. I believe the Holy Ghost wants me to say this. There could be 5 people, they could be 10 people, they could be 30 people here tonight. That until you do business with God, you're just holding everything up. Well, let's move on. Amen. I want to tell you tonight, there's proof in this text that Zacchaeus did business with God. And the proof is, I want you to see these proofs tonight. Number one, look at verse number 3. There's the desire of this man. The Bible says, and he sought to see Jesus, who he was. Now, the reason Zacchaeus did business with God was because of the desire. Notice the Bible says he had a desire to seek Jesus. He sought. He had a desire to see Jesus. Amen. He sought to see Jesus, who he was. And what's interesting about that phrase is that Zacchaeus, young people, was not trying to see Jesus for what he could do, but he wanted to see Jesus for who he was. Amen. In other words, he was not interested in the performance of Christ, but he was interested in the person of Christ. He wanted to see Jesus for who he was. Now, I thought to myself, why? What was it that intrigued Zacchaeus? Well, you remember in verse number 1, it said, and Jesus entered and he passed through Jericho. If you go back to chapter 18 and verse 35, notice the Bible says it came to pass that as he was come nigh unto Jericho, a certain blind man sat by the wayside begging. I'm telling you, listen, we've got Bartimaeus on the outside. We've got Zacchaeus on the inside. Jesus is making his way to Jericho. He comes nigh to the city. Bartimaeus is out there. He says, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And he asked him what he wanted. And he said that I might receive my sight. And he opened the eyes of Bartimaeus. Now, here's what I believe. I believe what happened on the outside of Jericho must have got on the inside of Jericho. Before Jesus could get into town, somebody ran into town and said, you are not going to believe what just happened on the outside. Wasn't that interesting? Listen, Bartimaeus was on the outside, but thank God he got in. Amen. And I'm telling you what happened on the outside. The news got on the inside, and it got the curiosity. It struck a desire in Zacchaeus' heart, and he wanted to see Jesus for who he was. Amen. It could even be that he heard about another tax collector by the name of Matthew, who was sitting at the receipt of customs, and Jesus came by and said, "Follow me." And he left all and followed him. But he had a desire to see Jesus. What I'm saying tonight, young people, you can be in the best environment. You can sing in a great choir such as this. You can go to a great youth group. You can have a leather lung preacher and carry a King James Bible all the days of your youth. But if you don't have a desire, you'll never see Jesus for who he is. You'll never do business with God. You see, if you sit here tonight and you don't have a desire to want to do business with God, there's no preacher that can stir you. There's no choir that can move you. There's no event that will ever cause you to ever want to do business. I'm telling you, there has to be a desire. But on the other side of that coin, if you've got a desire, there's not enough devils in hell that can stand between you and God. If you want to get closer, I want to tell you, if you'll take one step toward him, he'll take two steps towards you. He said, "Draw nigh unto me, and I'll draw nigh unto to you." I'm talking about he did business with God, and it's seen in the desire of this man. Do you have a desire to do business with God tonight? And then number two, not only was it the desire of this man, but look at verse number three again, the determination of this man. The Bible says he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and he's got two problems in verse three. He could not for the press because he was little of stature. There's two things that's standing in Zacchaeus' way. Number one, the world is in his way. He wants to see Jesus. He has a desire, but the world is standing between him and God. Young people, I'll tell you, the world will always try to stand between you and the Lord. If you're going to see Jesus and do business with God, you're going to have to get above the world. That's what Zacchaeus is going to do in this text. He realizes if he's going to see Jesus, if he's going to do business, he's going to have to get above the world. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 15 says, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. For if any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world." Young people, remember this. The world passeth away in the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God, he that does business, he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Amen. I'm telling you, this man, he got it in his heart to see, but the world was in his way. What he determined was that no matter what the world does, no matter how much bigger they are, no matter how much better they are, he's going to get above the world. Hallelujah. If you do business with God, young men, you'll have to get above this world. And then the second problem he had was his own flesh, because the Bible says he was little of stature. You see, tonight, young people, we are no match for this world. The world is bigger than us. There's more of them than there is of us tonight. That's just how it always has been. That's how it always will be. But if you have a desire, and if you're determined to do business with God and see Jesus, no matter how big the world is, no matter how many of them there is tonight, no matter what your flesh says, you can get above the world. You can get above your flesh. You see, Zacchaeus knew that his flesh was a hindrance in his own life. And young people, listen to me. You've got to be determined that you're not going to let your own flesh keep you from doing business with God. Don't let the lust of the flesh, don't let the desires of this flesh keep you from losing your desire and doing business. Be determined, amen. You see, Daniel didn't make his decision in Daniel chapter 1 to not eat that meat in Babylon. He made it in Jerusalem. Had Daniel waited until he got to Babylon to decide what he was going to do, he might have folded. But somewheres under the preaching of Ezekiel and Jeremiah and those prophets of old, Daniel in Jerusalem, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they made a decision on an altar, just like in a meeting, something like this. They came to God. They made a decision then that they would not let their flesh get out of hand. They would not let the world. I'm telling you, when Daniel got to Babylon, he lived in Babylon almost all of his life. But Babylon never lived one day in the heart of Daniel, for Daniel had already made his decision. He was already determined that come what may, if none go with me, I will follow. And somewheres in a youth meeting. You got to get determined. You got to get the desire. Are you going to live for God or not? Are you going to go with God or not? And if you make that desire, or if you make that determination, you can make the right decision at the right time. Hallelujah. He was determined. I see his determination in this text. Look at verse 4. It's in his effort. Look, the Bible says he ran. I mean, that's an effort, isn't it? I don't know about you, but I'm not a fan of running. Somebody say amen. I kind of like walking, amen. Well, from the looks of some of y'all, you're not a fan neither, amen. I'm telling you, listen, they just something about running, amen. I mean, it gets the heart to moving. It gets, you start sweating, amen. You say, why did the flesh don't like it, amen? I'm telling you, that flesh just rather be at ease. That flesh just rather always walk. I'll tell you what he's doing in this text is he knows that he's no match for the world. He realizes he can't do this in and of himself, but here's what he does. He puts an effort. Young people, if you want to do business with God, you got to put forth the effort, amen. That's when you go to church, put forth the effort. Go to Sunday school. Amen. Don't go dragging in 30 minutes late for Sunday school. I mean, show up 15 minutes early. Bring your Bible, not your cell phone. Bring your Bible to Sunday school. Bring a pen and paper and take notes. Can I get a witness on that? I'm telling you, sing in the youth choir. Amen. I mean, go to church. And when the choir gets up to sing or the congregation, open your mouth and you do that. But you got to put forth the effort. Stand up and testify. Go out and pass out some tracts. Read your Bible and pray. You say, what is that? That's putting forth the effort, amen. You know, that's not just good for young people, too. You say, well, I want God to do more in my life. You got to make an effort. Well, how does he? You got to be determined. You got to make your mind up. When you go to church, you're getting in, you're not getting out. You got to make your mind up. You're going to be involved. Amen. Don't miss Wednesday night church to go play ball. Amen. Put forth the effort. Amen. I mean, don't lay out a revival for basketball or baseball or football. You say, preacher, are you against all them sports? I'm not against you playing sports. I'm against you missing the house of God and playing sports. Amen. Don't be on a ball field when you should be in the church house. You say, how's that going to work? I don't know. But if you'll put forth the effort, amen, God will help you. You got to put forth the effort, amen. You got to read your Bible every day. I don't care if you read one chapter or 10 chapters. It doesn't make no difference. But you got to read your Bible every single day. And read it when you get up in the morning. And you've got to spend time in prayer with God every day. You've got to make that effort. Amen. There's some days when I read and pray, it looks like just black words on white paper. And some days when I pray, it seems like the heavens are brass. You say, why do you do it? You just got to make the effort. Amen. I'm not telling you I feel something every time. But I want to put forth the effort. Don't you want to put forth the effort? Well, then you're going to have to be determined, amen. It means you got to have a Bible reading program. You know, I like Alexander Scorby. How many of y'all like? Y'all probably don't even know who he is, do you? Y'all know who Alexander Scorby is? All right, okay. Well, go home and Google him, amen. I like Scorby, especially when you're reading 1st and 2nd Chronicles. Somebody say amen right there. I just let Scorby read it all, and I just follow along with him. And I like that, amen. And I like to have a prayer book, amen. Just write down names of things that you can, people you can pray for, and things you can pray for. And maybe you don't do it that way. It doesn't matter. What's important is that every day you spend time with God. And I'm going to tell you, mamas and daddies, you got to do the same thing. We can't put it all on the shoulders of young people. They're never going to be more spiritual than what we are. They need to see us in a room somewhere with our Bible in our lap and a cup of coffee and our head bowed, sometimes praying. They need to see that in our life. It don't just need to be something they hear from the pulpit. Amen. I'm talking about, listen, you got to put forth the effort. His determination is seen in his effort, and then his determination is seen in his embarrassment. Look at this. The Bible said he ran before and he climbed up in a sycamore tree. Now, I don't know about you, but when I read that, I thought to myself, you know, that's a rather undignified performance for a state official, isn't it? I mean, Zacchaeus is somebody in town. I mean, he's got a status. He, you know, he's got a name. and he climbs up in a sycamore tree, and I'm sure there was somebody laughing at him. I mean, here's this little midget guy climbing up in this tree, and he goes skirming up that tree. Don't you think some of y'all are laughing right now? If you boys have been there, you probably laughed at that. Amen. I'm telling you, I mean, it is, you see him just climbing up there like, I mean, state official climbing up there like a little old kid in the top of that tree. I'm sure somebody mocked him. I'm sure somebody made fun of him. I'm sure somebody said something about it, you know. But you know what happened to him? He got to the place he was so determined that he did not care what the world thought about it anymore. He didn't care what people was going to say. He got to the place where he was willing to embarrass his flesh to do business with God. Amen. I'm telling you, if you're going to do business with God, you got to get past yourself. You got to get past what people's going to say about you. You got to get past what people's going to think about you. You got to get a divorce from public opinion and make your mind up that the only thing that matters is that I see him and I get to him. He was determined. Are you determined to do business with God tonight? I say he did business because of the determination of this man, the desire, and then the deliverance of this man. Look at verse number 5. The Bible says, and when Jesus, notice this, came to the place, he stopped. And then he looked up and he saw him. And he spoke to him. He said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. Now Jesus stops. He sees Zacchaeus and he speaks to Zacchaeus. What that tells me is that, young people, if you'll be determined to do business with God, Jesus will be determined to do business with you. He is going to do for what Zacchaeus, for Zacchaeus, what Zacchaeus cannot do for himself. You see, the only thing Zacchaeus can do is get up in that tree and see Jesus. But Jesus is going to stop at that tree, and he's going to do more for Zacchaeus than what Zacchaeus could ever do for himself. The Bible says he was passing through Jericho in verse number 1, and then in verse 4 it said he was to pass that way. He comes to where Zacchaeus is and he calls Zacchaeus by name. Now I'm going to tell you, that shocked Zacchaeus that Jesus knew who Zacchaeus was and he knew where he was, but it did not shock Jesus that Zacchaeus was in the top of that tree. I'm telling you, it's amazing that Zacchaeus would go up a tree for Christ only to find out that one day Christ was going to go up a tree for him. Amen. I'm telling you, going up that tree would not deliver Zacchaeus in and of himself, for he was just a man. But when Jesus went up that tree one day for Zacchaeus, thank God he didn't just deliver him, but hallelujah, he delivered all of us. Amen. I'm telling you, I'm glad I can stand here tonight and say, by the grace of God in 2025, I have been delivered. Thank God there is deliverance tonight. You can do business with God. You may be a sinner like Zacchaeus, but hallelujah, God saves all sinners tonight. Amen. I want to say there's no power in hell that can stop a seeking Savior from a seeking sinner. And I see not only the deliverance of this man proves it, but the decision of this man. Now, I'm not a Calvinist tonight. That got quiet, didn't it? Y'all are not Calvinists, neither are you. Can we get an amen? I'm not a Calvinist. And this text proves, I heard a man preaching this not too long ago, and he was a Calvinist. And he made the statement, he said, wonder how Jesus knew who Zacchaeus was. Well, you know, I'm not real educated. But I'll tell you what went through my mind, Brother Jeremy. I thought, well, duh, man, he's Jesus. I mean, he knows everybody's name. If he knows all the stars, I don't think he has a problem knowing Zacchaeus. But he kept saying that, kept saying, he said, I'll tell you, he called his own sheep by name. But that's not why he knew he called Zacchaeus. That's not how he knew his name. Zacchaeus in verse number 6 is faced with a decision, young people. Because even though Jesus was passing by that way and Zacchaeus was in the top of that tree, Jesus speaks to him in verse 5 and says, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down. And when we get to verse number 6, Zacchaeus is going to have to make a decision. He can stay in the top of that tree, but you know what's going to happen if he stays there? The Bible said in verse 4, for he was to pass that way. If he stayed in the top of that tree, Jesus is going on. Verse 1 said he's passing through Jericho. Boy, I'm glad he passed by my way one day. Don't you thank God for the day he just passed by your way? And Zacchaeus is in that tree. I think he passed through Jericho for Zacchaeus. But Zacchaeus is in the top of that tree, and Jesus says this, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. And Zacchaeus is going to have to make a decision. Now, it's a simple decision. If you look at verse number 5 and 6, Jesus says, make haste and come down. Look at verse number 6. It's almost word for word. And he made haste and he came down. I'm going to tell you, to get saved, it's not a seven-step process. It's not mystical. It is not something sensational. Zacchaeus is in the top of that tree. Jesus passes by and says, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. And guess what? He obeyed the word of God. Is what he did. He made haste and came down, and he got saved before he ever got to the bottom of that tree. Amen. What I'm saying to you about young people is you don't have to spend your life worrying about whether or not you've done business with God. If you heard the word of God and if you obeyed and responded to the word of God, then it's just a simple decision. Amen. To trust Christ as your Savior. It was a spontaneous decision, for Jesus said to make haste. Amen. In other words, he didn't have time to sit in the top of that tree and say, well, hang on a minute, Lord, let me think about this. Maybe not right now. Oh no, he's passing by that way. If Zacchaeus is going to get in, if Jesus is going to go to his house, he's going to have to make haste. And I'm telling you tonight, if you're sitting in this church service, saved or lost, if the Holy Ghost puts something on your heart that you needed, some unfinished business you need to do with God tonight, here's what you got to do. You got to make haste. You can't look around and see who else is going to the altar. In fact, you know tonight in this altar call, it could be that there's only one person. I don't believe that tonight, but it could be that there's only one person that needs to do business with God. And if you're the only person in this building that needs to do business with God, then you ought to make haste tonight. You don't see what other people are doing. You don't wait till the third verse of just as I am or whatever. You make haste, amen, when he speaks to your heart. And if you're here tonight and say, preacher, I don't know, then just say, speak, Lord, thy servant heareth. And if he wants you to respond, he'll let you know that tonight. But what I'm saying is a spontaneous decision. And then I think Zacchaeus would say it was a smart decision, amen. Because if you could pull Zacchaeus aside and say, Zacchaeus, just tell me about what's the greatest business you ever did in your life. You know what he'd say? He'd say, well, it wasn't financial business, amen. He'd say, the smartest decision I ever made was the day that I was in the top of that tree and I heard the word of God and the presence of Jesus was there, and he told me to make haste and come down, and I just made haste. I just responded. I just obeyed the word of God. That's the best decision I ever made. And can I tell you tonight, the best decision I ever made was 38 years ago in a little storefront Baptist church on a hot July summer morning when the Holy Ghost came five rows back and said, son, you're dying and going to hell and you cannot save yourself. I didn't know John 3:16, but I knew I didn't want to go to hell, and I knew Jesus could save me in the best way I knew how. I just stepped out, just made haste, came to where he was, and it's been the best decision I've ever made. No regrets tonight of being saved and serving God. And then I think the delight of this man proves that he did business with God. Look at verse number 6. The Bible said he made haste and came down. Look at this. He received him joyfully. When Zacchaeus got, I think he got saved in the top of that tree. You say, why do you think he got saved in the top? Because the minute you respond to God, he's going to do the rest. He said, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down. I don't think it was a two-step, three-step, four-step. I think the minute that Zacchaeus made up his mind, I'm going to him. I'm going to do business. If he wants to do business with me, I'm going to do business with him. I think business picked up in the top of that tree. And by the time he got to the bottom, guess what? Joy was written all over his face, for it was coming out of his heart. He had joy unspeakable and full of glory. You know, I think when you get right with God, it'll put a smile on your face. Amen. It'll put a spring in your step. It'll make you want to serve God. It'll make you want to love the brethren. I see a lot of long, dreary faces nowadays in church, but it doesn't have to be that way. I'm telling you, serving Jesus is the best thing that's ever happened to any of us. In our worst day, serving God is 1,000 times better than our best day living for the devil. He's done far more than I ever deserve. He's done far more than I ever expected. I'm telling you, he's still worth living for. He's still worth singing about. He's still worth preaching about. He's still worth going to church for. He's still worth serving. He's still worth magnifying. He is still worthy. He is still God. He still deserves to be praised. I'm telling you, I'm about to think myself happy. I'm telling you, he is Wonderful. He is Counselor. He's the Mighty God. He's the Everlasting Father. He's that thing which is, which was, which is to come. He's the Almighty, saith the Lord. Hallelujah. And He'll put joy in your heart if you'll do business with Him. I think the delight of this man, when people get right with God, when they do business with God, here's what happens. They're the happiest people you'll ever meet. There's a man in our church got saved about 8-9 months ago. His name's Stephen. Stephen don't have but about 3 teeth in his head. He looks like somebody robbed you out in the parking lot, but he's saved. And I like to see Stephen coming in church and some visitors coming in the church. You know, they kind of hurry on in the church. Amen. He's just rough as could be. Somebody knocked on his door from the church, was out on visitation, gave him a tract, invited him to the house of God. He came, got saved. I baptized him not too long ago. I was preaching one Sunday morning. Stephen was sitting on this side. He don't know anything about church. I mean, he thinks he can just say whatever he wants to anytime. I'm always on pins and needles. I told him this, Stephen, I'm going to have to give you some flags. Amen. When I'm waving this flag, don't do this. When I wave this flag, do that. You don't know what he's going to do. But he's just happy all the time. He likes every song. Hey, every sermon. I mean, you know, the good ones and the bad ones. I mean, you preach glory, Stephen comes, that's a good sermon. You peel hide. I mean, you bust his hide. He'll say, man, that's a good sermon. He's just happy. And then I thought about this. There's another man been visiting our church for about 8 weeks. He's deep in a very deep, gross sin. I won't even tell you what it is tonight. He's a rich man. And he told another man in our church who was doing some work for him. He was building something for this man. And he said, why are you building this? He said, I'm trying to find God. But he's very deep in sin. Please pray for this man. And he told him, he said, well, if you want to find God, come to our church. So he came. I didn't know this man. He's well up in about, he's probably about mid-60s. I didn't know this man's sin. And that Sunday morning, I was preaching on one thing, but I'll tell you, I started preaching on this sin, this man's sin. And a man in my church who knew all about it, he came to me and said, preacher, you're not going to believe this. He said, this man, and he told me what was going on in his life, and he said, he's probably not coming back because you preached all everything he's doing, you preached it this morning. He said, he's probably not coming back. I said, man, I hate that. That man's been coming for 8 weeks. He's like Zacchaeus. He has everything, young people. But in reality, he doesn't have anything. And one Sunday I was preaching, and I said, it was invitation time, and I said something about Stephen sitting over here. And Stephen, he don't know you're supposed to be quiet in invitation. So when I called Stephen's name, Brother Jeremy, he just started testifying. He said, well, preacher, I just want to say something. I was like, Lord, not right now. You're going to blow this invitation. Stephen. And the Holy Ghost said, just let him say. And I'm going to tell you something. God used him in that invitation more powerfully than any sermon I could ever preach to that guy. He sat on his side. He started talking about how much joy he had since he got saved. He started telling about how he doesn't have anything. He don't have nothing. But he talked about how much peace he's got, how happy he is. And I mean, Stephen's just over there grinning, all 3 teeth, you know, shining. He brushes them. I mean, they're wide as they can be. Better than some of y'all, amen. He's just smiling, you know. And while he's up there smiling, this guy that's miserable. I keep watching it. He's standing over here, and he's over here, and that guy's watching him. And I can see what that guy's thinking. He's thinking, this guy ain't got nothing. But he's got more than I got. You know why Stephen's got more of him? Because he's done business with God. I'm going to tell you tonight, the real happiness is when you don't let there be any unfinished business in your life. I don't know what, if God spoke to your heart about something tonight, you might have to go get right with somebody, but you better do it tonight. You see in this text, he did business with God. It's seen in the life of this man. Let me give you these two thoughts and I'm done. It's seen in the declaration of this man. What a man says will tell you a lot about him. And when you get to verse number 8, look, the Bible says, the whole crowds murmured against him in verse 7. They've all called him a sinner. But Zacchaeus gets the balm of that tree. He stands up. I see the humility. He must have been on his knees. The Bible said, and Zacchaeus stood. But look at his helpfulness. The Bible said, he said unto the Lord, behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. He got the balm of that tree and he said, Lord, he said, half everything I got, I'm going to give it to the poor. And then I see the honesty of him. He said, if I've taken anything from any man, look at this, by false accusation, there's a word right there that's important, I restore him fourfold. You see, when Zacchaeus did business with God, he also wanted to do business with everybody else. I don't know that if I've ever been as right as Zacchaeus. Because I don't know, young man, I don't know that I would look at that crowd and say, let's just say you're rich. I don't know that I'd look at that crowd and say, you know what, hey, if I've ripped any of y'all off, I'm rich. If I've ripped any of y'all off, come see me after the service and I'll give you back fourfold. Donathan would be the first one in line. He'd say, now, I know you don't remember this, but because it's been a long time ago. But I got the dollar amount right here, you know. I wouldn't trust Zacchaeus. You know what happened? He got on that tree. And I'm going to tell you, he found riches that money can't buy. He found a treasure when he found Jesus, didn't he? The things of this world had grown strangely dim. And he said, they can have it all. They can have it all. I'm telling you tonight, when you do business with God, what you say about God, but what you say to other people. I don't know why I cannot get off of this. Lord, help me to be sensitive. But I'm telling you, if you got something in your heart against another brother, teenager or adult, I'm just telling you tonight, you ain't doing business with God if you don't do business with them. You're going to have to go to that person. I don't know why the Lord won't let me quit saying that. But you are going to have to go to that person. Now, if they don't know about it, don't tell them. You tell God and you leave it there. But if they know about it, you're going to have to make it right with them. You make it right with God, then you do your business with them. And I tell you, God will bless you. Finally, notice the last verse, and I'm done. Verse number 9. There's the defense of this man. Because at the end of this story, it really doesn't matter what the world says about Zacchaeus. They say he's a sinner. You can't always trust even what a man says. But you can always trust what Jesus says. And Jesus is going to defend Zacchaeus. In fact, if you look at verse number 9, look at what it says. And Jesus, it does not say Jesus said unto them. And Jesus said unto him. Young person, you know who he is interested in this chapter, this verse? The one that will do business with him. The crowd sitting around calling him a sinner and talking about how bad he is and murmuring, Jesus can't help them, so he ain't talking to them. You can sit around and talk about people and murmur about things all your life, and I'm going to tell you something, you're going to miss out on God's message. Jesus doesn't even respond to them. He doesn't pay them no mind. But the one that's done business, Jesus has something to say to him. What he says to him, he talks about the gift. He said, this day is salvation. There's a gift. Here's the grace. It's come to this house. For as much as he also is the son of Abraham, here's the goal, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. Now, I want to tell you tonight in closing, I want to ask you to do one thing for me. I want you to search your heart. Is there any unfinished business? You know, there could be unfinished business in a youth group. There could be unfinished business in a person's heart tonight as far as salvation. You know, God could be calling a young man to preach tonight. That could be an unfinished business. Tonight you may be a husband at a youth meeting and you and your wife are having problems tonight. That's unfinished business. You could be a wife and you need to get right with God and get right with your husband. You know, the last time Brother Jeremy, Brother Sammy was at our church, there was a man. He didn't go to our church, but he got mad at his wife. He didn't speak to her for 2 weeks. And his wife called my wife, and they didn't have a pastor, and said, "Would you please pray? We're coming to church tonight. I wish God would help this man, help my husband." And the only people that knew anything about that was me and her and that couple. Ma said, "I'll pray." And Brother Sammy was up preaching. I don't know what he was preaching that night. It was probably the next to last time he was at our church. I don't remember what he was preaching that night, but right in the middle of his sermon, for whatever reason other than the fact the Holy Ghost put it in his mouth, he said, "Sir, you're real spiritual." He said, "You'll tote a Bible and come to church, but," he said, "you won't even speak to your wife." Brother, I'm telling you, when he said that, my mouth hit the floor. I looked at my wife. I said, "Oh, no. They're going to think we told the preacher." But the preacher, he didn't know anything. But God knows. What I'm saying to you tonight, sometimes we forget. I'm just a man tonight. All these preachers that stood up, we're just flesh. But God knows everything. He knows everything about me tonight, and he knows everything about you. He knows something that we didn't get right 3 years ago that we swept under the rug. I got sharp with a man one time. I got sharp with him, and I didn't make it right. Just went on. I said some things kind of sharp to him. And about 2 months went by, and I remember one day praying, and the Holy Spirit said, he just brought it to my mind real gently. He said, "You remember when you said that to that person?" I said, "Yes, Lord, I'm sorry." But I didn't go to the man. And it must have been 6 months later. One day, I remember driving down the road, and the Holy Spirit spoke to my heart and said, "Hey, you remember when you said that to that man?" He just reminded me real gently again. "Remember when you said that to that guy?" I said, "Yes, Lord, I do, and I really feel bad. I shouldn't have been sharp with him, and I'm sorry, but I didn't go to him." And after the third time, I said, "Lord, I'm sorry, and next time I see that man, I'm going to apologize to him." And about a year ago, I saw that man. And I said, "Hey, do you remember when we was doing such and such and we was working and I got sharp with you?" He said, "Preacher, I don't even remember that." I said, "Well, two people remembers it, me and the Holy Ghost." And I said, "He is not going to let me forget that." And I said, "I want to tell you, I'm sorry. I should not have said that to you that in that tone." I'm telling you tonight, the Lord is so sensitive. He wants to get in all of our business. And tonight, young people, you can walk close to God. Just do business with him when he speaks to you. Don't harbor anything in your heart. Don't leave any unfinished business. I'm telling you tonight, young people, there's so much potential in this room. There's so much potential. Old-time religion is not dead tonight. I get tired of hearing people talking about a generation gone. I'm looking at a generation that's not gone tonight. But you got to walk close to him. If there's something unfit, if you said something about somebody, make it right with God tonight as we stand.